Hey, yo, we about to tear it up.
Yo. Break for break, break for break it down.
This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Breaking Atoms podcast. We break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, a.k.a. the Potty Mouth of the South.
And my name is Chris Mitchell, a.k.a. the Actual Factual.
Yo!
We're back.
Back. And this one is a... Yo, this is a goodie because this is Static Selector. Static is obviously the name you can trust, Mr. Showoff himself. We speak to him about the Balance Connect. This is good because we wanted to get Static way back in the summer.
This is true.
He was just like, yo, I got you. And to his word, he kept his promise to me. He said, I got you. Just wait for the album, wait for the album, wait for the album. And to his credit, he came on.
Yeah, man, definitely. Thank you for putting the bat signal up. He's one of my favorites, so I appreciate
it. Oh, yeah, Static. The last time I saw Static Selector was at Fader Fort in South by Southwest. Yes, South by Southwest. I think 2011. It's a long time. It's the last time. I've got a picture of him and Young Guru. They were DJing that day. It's a bunch of them too. That's the last time I saw him. So it's so good to see him continue to rise. And this album, Balancing Act, I can't wait for it. The track list, as always, looks incredibly insane. Mass Appeal, Rock Nation, Show Off. What else could you ask for to end the year? So
it's actually mad that he's backed by two of the greats who will be forever linked, Jay-Z and Nas.
But it's because of who he is. So you got to remember, like, Static is not only as a consummate professional, a good person. He's great at what he does, but he's a good person. And you know, he's able to get these artists it's his ninth studio album. And he's able to get these people, both legends, upcomers, because of the way he conducts himself and his relationship. So I'm not surprised. I think it's probably, you know, it's been a long time coming. I wish it happened sooner, but it's here now. And I think, you know, more power to him, and we wish him all the best.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. I'm looking forward to the album. My pre-order definitely is in.
Definitely. This is Static Selector, Breaking Atoms. Check it out. It's another special episode of the Breaking Atoms podcast. We have someone today that we thoroughly, thoroughly respect. Someone who needs no introduction, really. You just got to make sure you spell his name right, I think. But this is someone who has given us countless collaborative albums, EPs. He's on his ninth studio album, and he is someone that is respected in the culture of hip-hop. We're talking about the one, the only, Static Selector, who is joining us today to talk about his new album, The Balancing Act. Static, how you doing, my man?
What's up, fellas? How you feeling?
Good, good. We're just glad to have you on.
No doubt.
Before Summit gets started with the interview, how have you been in the year of COVID and madness?
I mean, just maintaining, man. Staying focused from my daughter, and just, you know, it was a challenge getting this album done through all this madness, but there's definitely some silver linings in there. That, you know, there's some moments on the album that wouldn't have happened if we weren't going through this. And then also, you know, just time management and the you know, the appreciation of just everything has been amplified this year. And I'm just grateful for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear. Good to hear. You call your album the Balancing Act. And I can see, you know, I see or hear that you're with your daughter. I've got to say that when I saw your artwork, I was it really brought home the message in terms of what the album meant. I wasn't sure at first, but when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I get it now.
I actually had the title and all that before this whole year started, and then it just got amplified to so many new degrees. But I mean, on this Zoom right now, you can see the picture of me and her. That's that was the original cover.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I was like, you know what? Nah, I would rather flip it and have my face and not hers on the cover. But, you know, it's a similar concept as far as, you know, that was a candid photo at a festival I was DJing. And her mom was running around going crazy, wondering where she was. And she was just under the table chilling while I was DJing.
Okay. That's Harley Hall. Shout out to the legendary Harley Hall.
That's amazing.
Send it over to you.
DJing. 25 years, right? You've been a DJ now.
Yeah, man. The album released. The actual album comes out on the 25th anniversary. We decided that's what I want to do with my life, and it's full circle in a lot of ways.
And amazing. What memorable moments do you have over those 25 years?
I mean, I could write 5 books about that.
I bet you can.
It's 25 years of memories. But I from starting radio at an early age to still doing it now, and breaking so many artists, and just, the world travels and all that. It's all amazing, man. It's incredible that I could, make this happen, especially being from where I'm from. Like, nobody's ever done that. So it's like, I was born in Lawrence, Massachusetts, but I moved to New Hampshire when I was 10 years old. And then, coming from there and then going to Boston and kind of doing my thing in the scene there, getting on the radio there and doing all the clubs, and then moving to New York, like, all of it was a huge gamble, but I just never stopped, man. So it was just, if anyone out there's looking for motivation, the key is just never to stop, man.
No, definitely. And in terms of, like, picking the artists to pair, not on just the balancing act, but all your projects, what's the process for that? Is it just a feeling? Is it, cooking up in a room? Is it brainstorming? How do you come up with the A-list and the upcoming stars, the legends and future legends to be on an album?
It's really just relationships and, like, who I'm vibing with at the moment. Like, I consider everybody on any of my albums, like, a homie. So it's like, I don't really have no songs with people I don't know or, like, strangers. It's all people that I rock with. So, it's whoever I'm rocking with at the time.
Okay. Sounds good. Sean Price, really, really good to see his name on the track list. When was this song recorded, and how long you been holding on to that verse?
It's bittersweet, man, because, it's my last unheard Sean P verse. And, it's the end of a chapter for me. I miss that guy a lot, but I've had that verse I actually found it in a session going through files, and I was like, this never came out. Like, I scoured the internet for it and it never came out. I recorded that verse, like, man, it must have been like 8 years ago.
Wow. And, okay.
I mean, he's been gone now for, 5 years, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. We all miss Sean Price. His energy is definitely.
It's still so here, man. Like, he, a lot of the things that are popping to hip hop now, Sean Price opened the doors for, man. Like, things like the Griselda Wave and, like, all these, like, there's a lot of artists doing that style of music now, like the real simple, sample loops with no big drums on them. Like, Sean P was one of the first ones doing all that.
Yeah, definitely. We were speaking to Marco Polo a couple of months ago, and he was talking about logistically how hard it can be to do producer albums. You've done 9.
Yeah.
In like 13 years. That's a lot. What are some of the tips you've got to getting producer albums done?
I mean, have different angles. Like, obviously, with my albums, like, it's always a mutual respect, and people fuck with what I do on the radio and with the mixtapes back in the day. And, like, it's like, I think a lot of these artists look at me as, like, one of the last of the people holding down this sound. So it's always been love. And like I said, it's this relationships there with all of them. So, but it's incredible. Like, sometimes I'm blown away when I really think about, like, I don't, these aren't budgets for the albums. I'm doing all this just for the sake of the style of music we love. Like, it's not like I'm going out there and chasing out rappers with money or any of that. Like, it's all out of mutual respect, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, you seem to have mastered it. That's 9 in 13 years. Really impressive.
And your relationships grow stronger now. Mass Appeal, Roc Nation, the artists that this is leveling up. This is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I wanted to ask you was around sampling original composition. You've, collaborating with Dream Life Beats, Vintage Vandals.
Yeah.
You've used samples in the past. We've had this conversation with a number of producers on the podcast about original composition, sampling. Are we going to get a bit of both on this album?
It's mostly original compositions. But you wouldn't even know. Like, I'm not even going to tell people which ones are which. But there's a couple samples on there.
Okay. Yeah, we don't do snitching here. We'll listen out for that. We don't do snitching.
Nah, Dream Life's been a new chapter in my production career, because anytime I need something replayed or like a certain idea, I just go to him and he knocks it out within like 24 hours. He saved a lot of records. Like, he's all over Joey's album. He's you know, he replayed the light. There's a lot of joints we got that I came to him last minute and he just flipped for us.
Yeah, is he is Dream Life Beats part of the CJ Fly album, Rude Boy?
Yeah, he did every single sample. Like that whole album was samples, and then we had to go in and flip every single song.
Wow, that's my favorite album of the year, by the way. I love it.
Dope.
Yeah, it brought about my Jamaican pride right out of me. I was like, "Yup, this is me all day."
Nice.
I see Haile Supreme. Have I pronounced it right?
Haile
Supreme. He's all over your credits in recent years, and I love his voice. How did you meet him, and how did he become your secret weapon, per se?
I met him at a show in Queens. It was like a Friday night, and Term was like, "Yo, I'm gonna go spit a verse at the show." And I was like, "All right, I'll roll with you." And I went over there, and you know, I was at the bar just chopping it up with people and shit. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice on stage, and I'm like, "Who the fuck is that?" So I go over, and I looked off the balcony and just watched his show and his performance. And the second he was done, I walked up to him like, "Yo, we got to get in the studio." And I think like the next night we got in the studio, and we've been going strong ever since. He's working on his solo project right now too.
Okay, good news. I assume you're going to be producing most of it. Okay, good news. Good news. I have to ask though. I remember you did a pregame EP a few years ago, and you were rapping on the best.
That was like 11 years ago.
It was a long time ago, just before 100 Proof, and I really liked your verse on the best. It was real simple, and I just wanted to know: are we going to get any more rapping from you?
I don't know about that. There's another song, a DJ Saved My Life on Population Control. I rap at the end of that. It's like a secret song.
That's right.
But yes. You know, it's something we joke around with at the studio, and I'm always battling people at the studio, but that's kind of like one of those things you got to be there for.
Okay, I would ask you who have you beaten in a battle, but that's probably sacred
man,
talk.
Man, I've beat mad people, bro. I've gone in on a lot of big rappers.
Okay, we'll leave that to the former ones.
When I first started with Pro Era, every night I was battling everybody in Pro Era, like just joking around drunk, but it was always hilarious.
Oh man, to be in those studio sessions.
How does the Balancing Act reflect your life of being a father, producer, DJ?
We've heard a lot, songs man.
But in terms of specific
there's
songs,
some real serious records on the album. There's a song called Way Up that, you know, everybody that hears the song is goosebumps, man. It's about, you know, it's about Mac and Sean and Prodigy and Nipsey. But, you know, Bun B is rapping about Pimp C on it, and then Havoc comes in and raps about Prodigy. And Havoc's kind of been quiet since P died as far as touching on those subjects. So he tells, like, he tells the story of, like, Prodigy's last week. And it's just a moment, and, like, you know, that's something that, it's heavy for me too, because you know Prodigy lived next door to me. Like, he was a very, like, me and him were a lot closer in real life than we were musically. We only did probably maybe 5 songs ever, but like we hung out on a regular basis. So you know that was a real personal record for me, and you know, got to pay homage to Mac and the Prodigy. But there's some other records on there too, like, you know, Jack Harlow's song on there, that what he's talking about is like so perfect for the times right now. And when people look back on it, like even the Nas Joey record, I think it's going over certain people's heads, and they're going to look back and be like, damn, that was a moment.
Yeah. Did you have them in the studio together? Because the synergy between them going back and forth, I thought to myself, this could only happen together.
Nah, it wasn't. We actually met up.
Wow.
We all met up at Grammy weekend back in January. And you know, we linked up, and Joey had never met Nas. So I had them chop it up real quick, but I made it clear. I was like, yo, this record got to be for my album. Cause I was about to announce that I signed a Mass Appeal, and, you know, fast forward a month, the world flipped upside down, and, you know, it got delayed a lot, but we got the song done. I think Joey laid his verses in like June, and Nas did it like the first week of September. Like, I was waiting for a little while, but Nas never came back to New York. I mean, he never even came to New York the whole year. The only time he came in was for the Spicy video shoot. But originally, like when we met up, Nas was going to be a lot more involved in the album. He was going to, you know, he was planning on being in New York a lot this year, but the shutdown just You know, it was different, bro. Like the shutdown in New York in March was like what the rest of the country is probably going to go through now. We went through it already, and everybody stayed inside for like almost 2 months. Like the streets were dead. Like the police were outside with megaphones telling people to stay in the house. It was like some other shit. And then, you know, the rest of the country didn't really listen. And now we're going through it again. And it's messed up because I got a lot of close friends losing their businesses and all this. Like, it could have been avoided in a lot of ways. Obviously our president's the clown. So that changed a lot of shit too. But it sucks because I feel like this winter is about to get crazy again, and I'm looking forward to the nice weather again.
Yeah, no, I don't know if it's a similar situation, but you know, flu season is this time of the year, especially over here, and we're in a lockdown now as well. But we didn't have people or police on the street with megaphones, so we were lucky in that sense. I did get stopped by a police officer asking me where I was going when I went on a walk.
They're giving out $2,000 tickets out here.
How much?
$2,000 tickets if you're not like wearing a mask in like certain places and shit.
That's nuts. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
At one point, they had it as $10,000 out here as a fine, and then they were fining people who had unauthorized parties and raves, and they've kind of.
I mean, at the beginning of all this, right? If the whole world just stayed the fuck inside for 2 weeks, like, it would have worked out a lot different. But instead, we had, you know, our president's telling people it wasn't even real and it was going to go away and no one had it. And it's just, it's really embarrassing because I've been touring the world for a long time. And I remember specifically a lot of times I was in London or the UK, like somewhere in the UK, watching TV and like the way they talk about America. And that was when Obama was president. Now it's like, I can't even imagine how the world's looking at it. It's embarrassing.
I'll be honest with you, Static. You may be surprised just in how America's kind of spoken about. I guess on social media and in our little circles, we're a lot more open about how we feel.
Yeah.
But the media platforms, you know, there's a lot more support than you might realize because we're living in an increasingly conservative government too. So a lot of what's happening in the States is being reflected over here, not to as big a scale, but there's remnants of that. It's been a very trying few years for us over here too, especially as people of color.
Yeah. But I love it out there, man. One of the first places I'm going to when it's back to halfway normal is definitely going back to London first. I love it out there.
I was going to ask, what's your favorite spot in London to perform at or even, you know, chill and eat?
Well, I mean, I've had some incredible nights in London, man. There's different scales to it, though. Like, when I go out there by myself, you know, I've done the Jazz Cafe a couple times, and that's fun. But, like, when I go out there, I've been out there with Q-Tip, and me and Joey have probably done 100 shows in London. But doing the Roundhouse and then doing the O2, what's it called? Shepherd's, what's it called?
Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Yeah, all that. Like, I love all those spots, man. And we just had so many legendary nights out there. But London's, like, it's one of our biggest markets.
I'll make a promise. I've not seen you live yet, but I've heard you do a good show. I'm coming out. Next time you're here, I'll be there.
I'll definitely be back soon.
Definitely. As a performer, how hard has it been with not being... Because I speak to a lot of musicians, especially over in the States, and they're finding it very difficult. You know, even seeing people like stage designers, and it's COVID has hit people like that, not just artists and producers and DJs, but people who set up the stages. How's it been for you? How have you kind of reconciled that? I mean, you're home more, you got the album out, but how as a performer who likes the energy of being on stage and with the people, how have you kind of reconciled that?
It's like, that's my livelihood. So it's like the beginning of the quarantine, I was doing Instagram Live and all that, and then I started doing Twitch later. But during the summer, it was fun because New York was like the Wild West during the summer. Like, we were just popping up and throwing parties at like random spots. And, you know, people would have on their mask and me like, whatever. Like, we tried to keep it respectful most of the time. There was always a hater that would call the cops or whatever. But we got away with it for like at least 2 months. And then towards the end, they just started shutting down a lot of shit. But we had a fun summer just like throwing these like, you know, renegade parties like in the middle of the street. And just I'm not mad at the summer 2020. Like, I feel like the energy in New York was dope. Everybody was outside, all the restaurants, like outside New York this summer was cracking. And I feel like the whole world didn't really get to see much of it because on TV they were, you know, the president was saying it was dead in New York, and the videos they were showing on TV, like, it was all bullshit, man. Like, the media was trying to make it look like New York was like a ghost town. This shit was cracking all summer. But yeah, I mean, besides that, it's like, but you got to understand, every single party I did this summer, I did for free, just for the people. Like, I haven't got a, I've this whole year, I think I've got like 3 DJ paid gigs, and that, you know, that's tough to deal with too, because that's a big, you know, that's a big part of my income. I definitely lost a lot of money this year, but you know, thank God I can't complain. The way that I have certain friends that only DJ that are really going through it. At least I got production and I do all this other shit. Like, some of these cats are just DJs and they're losing their minds.
So in terms of like losing DJ money, like I know you do a lot of mixing and mastering. Is that one of the ways you've diversified this year and said, look, I can do this now?
Just with Smoke Dizza. He dropped like 2 projects this year. I mixed and mastered both of those. But not really. I don't usually get that's not like one of my main things. It's been mostly just production and you know, sometimes doing like consulting and shit. But I produce a lot of records, so it's like, you know, it comes through, you know. I did the Locks album drop this year. Joey dropped the 3-pack. I did 2 of those. Like, I've been pretty busy, but you know, just finishing this album was a whole different thing, and now it's done. So I'm excited for people to hear it.
No, definitely, definitely. You mentioned Joey Badass. I mentioned CJ Fly a few times. Working with Pro Era and seeing as they're slightly younger than you, what kind of lessons have you learned just about youth in hip hop, and what kind of music have they put you on, or what kind of music have they introduced you to that you may not have heard prior?
I don't think, I mean, Joey's put me on to like new stuff. I'm trying to think of there's this one artist he was playing a lot. We were in the Bahamas working on his album and he kept playing this artist and I really liked it, but I can't remember his name now. For the most part, okay. I used to put them on onto a lot of stuff they didn't know. Cause I've always been kind of up with the times. Man, I'm trying to think. We've definitely through the years put each other onto stuff, but like,
yeah, no, I can imagine.
Like the first like 5 years touring with them, like I was just putting them onto like classic shit that they might not have been up on, but you'd be surprised, they're up on a lot of it. Like, they're really the students of the game.
Yeah, no, they're old souls. Yeah. I sometimes forget when I listen to them, like even CJ Fly, just his voice and his delivery, like he sounds like he's lived life.
CJ's
and I
sometimes funny, forget CJ didn't grow up listening to hip hop. He grew up listening to like all reggae and calypso and all that. So he had to learn a lot of this stuff. Like, Joey grew up listening, you know, his mom was playing Smith & Wesson and Biggie and Wu-Tang. So like, it was different. But CJ comes from like a very Jamaican family.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he's obviously a student. He's done well. Like I said, my favorite album of the year. Like, I was telling my wife, I'm like, this album right here, just, you know, just Jamaican Pride just came out that day, and I really love that album.
That came out this year. Like, it feels like it came out 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think albums that come out in January and February every year, they tend to sometimes get forgotten as the year goes on.
Everything else that's happened.
This year is just, time is so relative now.
Right.
Everything's just, you forget about all the things that you've done pre and post COVID kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely.
Static, talk to me about the Good Dad Gang, because I can see it when I zoom into the album cover. Talk to me about the Good Dad Gang. Who's part of this gang, man? Can I join?
Well, I mean, every good dad's part of the gang, but I put that logo on there for, you know, I support, it's Terms Company, I support it. And, you know, since I was going to be holding my daughter on the cover, I thought it was only right. And that's actually a real photo. That's not like a logo thrown on. That's an actual sticker that's on my turntable in the studio. So when Dom Dirty asked me to take a picture of the turntables, that was just on the turntable. And so was, the Mass Appeal sticker happened to be right there too, which is kind of crazy.
That's for years.
Like, it's been there for 10 years. And the picture I took happened to have Mass Appeal and Good Dad Gang. So it was like, let's just leave it.
That's dope. I like it. I like it.
I was going to ask, I know I might be digging too much into your private business. How many Nas songs do you have in your stash?
Nothing, man. Nothing that's not out.
It's all gone. All right.
And we definitely, right. Every time we get in the studio or like anytime we connect, we talk about doing more stuff. But, you know, obviously I wanted on him more. I wanted him on a couple more songs on this album. But like I said, just getting things done this year was like really not the way we expected.
You sound like you can't wait to get back outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just can't wait to I'm a traveling dude. Like the only time this whole year I've traveled after the shutdown was, I was going out to Ohio to Dave Chappelle's, and like just that was like very therapeutic for me. Like I was going out there. It was incredible, man. He had such a dope system where like you get out there, you get tested. And then once you get the white bracelet, you're good for the weekend. And, you know, you'd be out there just chilling with Chris Rock and Louis C.K. and Kevin Hart and Questlove. Like, it was incredible. Shout out to Talib Kweli for inviting me out there. But every night he'd do shows with like 500 people in the cornfield. And then after, everybody would go back to his spot. Not everybody, but like the people with Dave would go back to his spot. And like every night I was out there, I DJed. Like, we just had a blast out there, man. It was like, I needed that.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. I hear that Dave Chappelle, is his hospitality game is A1. Yeah,
absolutely. Like he every day, you What's know, cause everybody out there drinks a lot, but every afternoon he has the IV drips at his shack, and like they bring the vitamins and put it like they have nurses that put it in your veins. Like, it's crazy, bro.
That's amazing.
And it hydrates everybody.
Yo, I love Dave. Dave's the best. I mean, he's the greatest of all time from a comedian standpoint, but that is just amazing.
Yeah, man, it was incredible.
What is up with the 2 Chainz album?
It's, man, I've been saying it for years. Every time someone asks me, I'm like, it's coming next. But I think he's off Def Jam now. That last album he put out, like, fulfilled his contract. So I think the next project's going to be this, to set off his, like, new adventure as an independent artist.
Okay.
It's gone through a lot of transformations. Like, we probably did 2 or 3 albums by now that we have to just pick the songs for. But the original version is all my favorite stuff. So I think he got a couple surprise guests on certain songs. Like, I don't want to give out any names or anything, but I know the original version of the project, like, had some really big records. And then through the years, we've done a bunch of new stuff. So I don't really know what he's planning at this moment, but when I spoke to him last, he was like, it's next.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it because you have a knack. I just think certain MCs, you bring out something in them when they rhyme over your production. So I'm really, really looking forward to that.
It's really dope. It's like some of my best shit I ever did. So I'm excited.
Okay. All right. We'll hold you to that then.
Word up.
Dope. I got nothing else, Chris.
I have nothing else to say, man. Just Static. Really appreciate you taking the time and, you know, just thank you. When I was speaking to Apollo Brown, and when we spoke to him a few months ago for our interview, we said that he was one of the most reliable and consistent producers of the 2000s and 2010. And we just want to say thank you because we feel the same about you. Big fans of you. And we just know that produced by Static Selector means quality. And we really love you, man, and enjoy your music. So thank you so much and good luck with the balancing act.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. Peace, brother.
All right, man. You take care.
Big thanks to Static once again. Spell his damn name right. Mr. Sharf himself. Like, he's got, you know, even the serious show. That was an interesting conversation to understand from an artist's point of view, or a performer's point of view, a DJ, a producer, their point of view, how much COVID has changed things for people who are not necessarily from here.
Yeah.
So hearing about how New York was in the first lockdown with police out and just how things changed so much and how we forgot so many things have happened this year just because of COVID. So that was a really interesting conversation. I'm really looking forward to this album because I think there will be, you know, we heard the Joey Badass Nas track with Gary Clark Jr., which is incredible. I'm really interested to hear the other album cuts to really get into the nitty-gritty of the balancing act.
Yeah, he did a good job of selling it. And I think music is always powerful when it speaks to the current situation. So it's not just the message, but when the music is good and you meet in the middle, I've got high hopes. I've never been let down by a Static Selector project.
No, not by Static. No, absolutely not. And yeah, hopefully we can get that 2 Chainz album.
No, I've heard one song of it. It's called like Smoke Break, but you know, hopefully we get it because, you know, 2 Chainz, he's a better rapper than he gets credit for. Put it that way.
Yeah, Chains is a good rapper. I like Chains. Listen, when a Chains album comes out, I'll try my best to listen to it. Like, I'll make some time for it to listen to. I like Chains.
There's a Ninth Wonder song he did called Threat to Society. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. It was crazy.
Yeah, Chains is, he's got, Chains understands, he straddles the bar of knowing what's needed at the time and then what he can
absolutely
do. He's got it in his armory, but he goes, this is what I need to do to make things work or to get the money, and then I can just do this. He can do it for fun if he wanted to, but he knows what will make the, what will bring the income, the shows, etc.
Absolutely.
So now, peace to Static, as absolutely always. But you can follow us on social at Break the Atoms, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Chris is at I Am Kinetic. I am at Hip Hop Chronicle. We've got more interviews coming.
Before you go, bro,
next time,
you're doing a charity podcast.
Yes, I am. I am doing a charity podcast.
Plug your charity podcast. Let's do this.
So on December 19th, I am doing probably the very first 24-hour live continuous podcast. This is a name, an aid of a children's charity that supports premature babies. And it's part of it's an NHS trust. So it's for just to raise money for them. I have a Just Giving page. I haven't really done much promotion for it. I'm just going to do it. I'm not really just going to do it because it's something that is close to me. Also, it's just a challenge. But so December 19th, Saturday, December 19th, I'll be doing fun and games and talking for 24 hours nonstop.
Okay. And I'll put that information in the podcast notes. And yeah, make sure you try and support if you can. December 19th.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate that. But yes, we'll be back with another episode. Until then,
peace.